Hello, Sir Regent, Michael speaking. How can I help?
Hi, mate. It's Archie Curzon here. I hope this little phone call finds you well. Just a quick one. I applied for a job quite a while back to be a model in the shop, and I just want to retract my CV, if that's possible.
I can go ask a manager about that if you want.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. I'll get a manager on the
phone.
Cool.
If you could, yeah. Thanks.
Hello, Sir Regent. How can I help?
Hi there. Is that the manager?
Yeah,
hi, mate.
How can I help?
Look, I've just been to your colleague. A while back, I applied for a role to be a topless model in one of your shops, and I'd just like to retract my CV and the offer of it, just because my career in the city has sort of taken off exponentially, and also my career online. And just for GRPD reasons, I'd just like to know that that CV has now been taken away. So I don't know if someone can confirm that for me. That'd be wonderful.
Okay, just so you know, we're not having that role anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, well...
So I don't think that... And then we also don't take any CVs online. We usually do interviews in person.
Yeah, no, but the thing was, it was roughly around 2006 that I came in. I handed in my CV then via a piece of paper for the Cheltenham branch, and I was keen to sort of... do that role. Obviously, I haven't heard back for quite a considerable amount of time, but I was just sitting here in my office in London. I'm doing really well now, a six-figure salary. But I just was just slightly concerned because I, you know, now I wouldn't be able to do the hours or do the job really. I mean, I love getting my kit off, but I don't have the time like to go and be in Cheltenham. I live in London now.
We're not hiring anymore, unfortunately. So don't worry about it.
Okay. Is it worth just quickly, because I can, like, I'm pretty free on the non-rugby weekends. I could come and do you want me to send a few topless photos just in case you want a model?
No.
What's your phone number?
That's fine, mate.
What's your phone number? And I'll just WhatsApp you some topless photos.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the time is back once more for Rugbits Podcast, and it's episode 128. My name is Freddie Claude, the sun is shining, the Easter Bunny's been, and I'm joined by another little surprise on my right hand side, Mr. Archie Curzon. You beautiful man, how are you?
If I chat here.
What?
If I just chat here. Would you just chat with me and just forget the world?
Oh my, were you singing that to your dad over the weekend?
No, I didn't see him, but no, I've just been listening to a lot of Snow Patrol, mate.
Right, okay.
Yeah, just, I'm in quite a reflective mood, mate.
I can
because
tell.
Because Easter's been and gone.
Yes.
And, you know, this period between now and summer, you know, it's an interesting period.
Start of Q3, spring.
Nothing says this period more than Snow Patrol.
Okay.
That album was amazing. You know, that got me through some pretty tough, like, exam revision.
Right, okay, some dark moments.
Yeah, I mean, revising exams is tough at the best of times, but when you got Snow Patrol, Tracy Chapman, Goo Goo Dolls,
it's actually quite enjoyable.
Nickelback.
Yeah.
It makes it easier.
Was that on your whole sort of revision playlist?
Yeah. You know, when you're taking in, you know, Oxbow Lakes, meandering rivers.
Sedimentary rocks.
I'm just talking about geography here. I was quite hot on my geography.
I can tell. You still remember it.
I was hot on my geography because Snow Patrol were with me.
Well, thank you, Snow Patrol. I'm not going to let you off Easter that easily, Mr. Archie Curzon.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened because we last spoke last week. There was a hope. A very small hope you may be getting out to the Alps.
Yeah.
You don't look tanned enough to be in.
No. I stayed here, mate. It was just safe. And actually, it was so lovely. Yeah. I highly recommend being in Clapham for that period.
Okay.
For me, Clapham was probably designed with the thought of bank holidays.
Right.
Because, you know, it was just... It wasn't the most beaut weather,
no.
But it was just nice enough, and it wasn't too busy, but it was busy enough. There was a bit of a vibe,
yeah.
Especially in Clapham Old Town. You find that's really the epicenter of chat.
It is.
When people disperse to the country.
Apart from Sunday nights at the ship on a bank holiday. I'm guessing you were there.
Mate, I popped down to the ship.
Of course you did.
You've got to do that.
No,
and it was really good fun, and... I didn't go too hard because I met up with the boys on Monday. Bilk B, Mungo, and Sam.
Right.
Top boys. Yeah. It's funny because we were all wearing flip-flops.
Right.
And like various bits of rugby stash. Like Bilk B plays for London Scottish, so he's done quite well. And he had like his three quarters on. And like everyone kind of knew we were rugby players and they just sort of left us to it. It's quite a cool vibe. Mungo brought his rugby ball just in case. And we didn't use it, but it was just nice to have it there because you never know, because Clapham can be like that.
Yeah.
You know, four other rugby boys turn up and they're like, challenge you a game of touch.
Yeah.
And then we've got...
Suddenly,
we're like,
you're ready.
We're like, bring it. I mean, we'd have had to play barefoot, but actually, between the four of us, we would have managed the game quite well. So we've all got various skill sets.
So is that your tip of the week, guys? Do you always take a rugby ball with you?
Yeah. Can we get the jingle?
Yeah, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of the week again. It is time for Archie Curzon's Tip of the Week. Thank you very much.
I bloody love that jingle. Yes, my big tip of the week, Clovis, is now with the weather getting better and the common being, you know, softer, good ground, which is ideal for touch rugby. Make sure you're always carrying a pill with you because you never know, mate. An impromptu game of touch can happen just like that. I've seen it happen.
Be ready.
And sometimes they are the best games.
Okay.
But I've got to say, mate, big shout out to Bilk B, Mungo and Sam. Our chat is we call ourselves the Big Four because our chat is absolutely like next level.
Yeah, I can imagine. It just
goes off, mate. You know, we're all into like the same thing. We all like vibing at the same level. We've all done exceptionally well. I always check what everyone's salary is, and okay, we're roughly the same.
That's nice.
That's always a good measure. And that's also really important that you make sure that you are getting paid the same as your schoolmates.
Sorry, that's not another tip of the week, is it? Have you just
It's the secret tip of the week.
This is Archie's secret tip of the week. You gotta keep your ears peeled for the tip of the week. I got a fucking secret I wanna tell you all just
Mate, I can't, that's two tips. I'm giving too many tips away. I won't be able to release my book in Christmas. But yeah, that is a really important thing. I actually don't mention it enough, but you know, if you're with friends, some people don't like talking about how much they earn, but you can gauge it by the house they're living in, the car they drive. You can just ask the questions to find out. So always try and find out what other people are earning, because then you know where you need to get to. I think it's really good for your mental health.
So Archie, obviously it's a time for reflection after the Easter weekend and all the European rugby which took place.
European rugby, mate. Absolutely sick.
Yeah.
Sick rugby. Not like in a good way.
Yeah.
You probably don't know that lingo, but a lot of people in Clapham use sick as like quite a cool term.
In a good way.
Like if someone saw like my chinos I'm wearing now, like a lot of my mates would be like, mate, those chinos are sick.
Well, our
like,
old,
in a good way.
Our old mate.
And if you're with the right people, you might need to just let them know that sick means good.
Okay,
sometimes it does go wrong and someone's like, whoa, you sick? I'm like, no, mate, your chinos are sick. Like, in a good way. London lingo, #, London lingo.
Get with it, yeah, boys. Come on, get with it.
But mate, European rugby, absolutely sick.
Well,
this weekend,
our old mate of the show, Jack Noll, on fire for Exeter.
Noli is a good guy, mate. You know, for all his sins, that horrible accident, he's done bloody well, mate. Fair play. And he's going to be earning a lot of coin in France next year.
We're talking about someone with a horrible accent who plays on the wing and is an England legend.
Yeah.
We've got Matt Banahan on the podcast.
Yep. Hold on, slide, do another.
You know Banners,
oh, Banners,
don't you?
Yeah. A little bit, mate. Just from my time, you know, hanging around Bath when Benders was there. Yeah. So
Benders and Banners.
No, Banners pretty well, mate. That's where I saw. I reached out to him through various channels, and I said, look, mate, you know, time to come on the pod because people probably have forgotten who you are and we'll bring you back to life and probably get you some commercial deals. So I think we just like, shall I just put out my hand virtually through to everyone? Put our hands, everyone touch my hands virtually, and on three, we'll just say, Banners, get in here. One, two, three. Banners!
Get in here.
Welcome to Casa de Chat. That's great endorsement on your shirt. That's brilliant. That's
I was on it. I could turn the screen around and show the massive screens.
Oh, yes. That is product placement. That is incredible. That is how you do business on a podcast.
Business sponsored by New Balance. That's quite incredible as well, the crossover.
We try our best here.
Well,
make a note to reach out to New Balance to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, we'll do.
We're the kind of high net worth individuals that they should be looking at.
Well, I should say we are delighted to be joined by a fan's favourite and ex-England international, Matt Banahan. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. Obviously working hard. How's it all going?
Yeah, going really well. It's obviously watching rugby, being back at work, trying to get LED screens in football stadiums and all over the world. But it's nothing tops that apart from speaking to you two today.
Thanks so much, Batters. We massively appreciate it. And look, if you need any help trying to get some screens around the Clapham Common area, just reach out to me and I'll put you in contact with someone in my office.
And I definitely need to.
Got a great direct report that actually runs the Clapham Common area, who you know, we would love to show live sport around the common.
Yeah, that
so
would
you
be good.
Could just stand outside and watch it.
What is it with rugby players ending up in windows or LED screens?
It's just a great bit of business. You always need a screen and you always need a window.
Okay.
It's like a haircut.
And we don't have to move anymore.
Yeah, exactly. No, there you go.
I mean, you are working in biz dev, aren't you? You know, Archie's obsessed with BD, he's obsessed with trying to make money. You're working in the biz dev department there for the LED company I was reading about?
Yeah, myself and Kevin Yates, who's an older Bath prop as well, Saracens in England.
Yeah,
so he's my boss and we have a good fun at the same time, but it's a lot different to the world of rugby, but I'm getting used to it slowly.
I can just imagine the email people receive, which is, hi there, I hope this email finds you well. It's Matthew Banahan here. Ex-Bath, Gloucester and England international, as well as Barbarian. I just wondered if you want to do some business and I can share some amazing stories of me playing rugby. And they're just like, yeah, sign me up. I'm ready for it.
Did I send you that email already?
You did. You did. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did try calling you a number of times, but it went straight to voice note. So,
I got you blocked from last time.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense. Because I would be calling you the whole time just to ask, you know, stuff like, what's Butch James like?
Yeah. Well, we'll find out about that, hopefully. Because Banahan, obviously, you play with some incredible players, including Archie's supposed best mate, Nick Benders of Benenden. But when did you first hear about Archie Curzon and his sort of ridiculous philosophy on life?
I probably met Arch in my first year of when I was at Bath when I was 19. So you're talking 17 years ago. The Cheltenham boys.
Yeah, I used to come down and support Nick and just give him some words of wisdom. And also, you know, I would also part of my wisdom on a lot of the Bath players. You know, if I saw them doing something wrong, I'd just say, look, you might want to try, you know, a sidestep or a goose step, or you might just want to try a chip and chase. And I think a lot of them really appreciated it.
Did you ever give that feedback to Banahan? I mean, obviously he was a big, strong, strong player, 100 tries for Bath, a world record breaker. But did you ever say, try bring something else into your game?
No, I avoided that because he did scare me a little bit. But we had mutual respect. I think I scared him a little bit as well. We sort of, you know, from a distance, we admired each other.
Archer's vocabulary is way over my head. I struggled to keep up, but he would give us impressions on the rugby pitch and Bendy would say that he was a sponger because Bendy was on loads of money and they would just live off him.
Yeah, he took us to Vegas. It was a great time to be alive. And now it's the other way around. Now Bender's is tapping me up for sponsorship deals. How do I get a smoker? I'm like, listen, Matt,
four kids is put him under the radar.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt, obviously I saw you recently partook in what is surely the greatest honour a rugby player can ever have be bestowed upon them when you play for the Barbarians against your old club, Bath. It seemed you'd retired. It seemed you were gone from the game of rugby. How did you make this comeback? And just take us through the highlights of that week, because apparently it is the best week in any player's history.
Yeah, it was chaos. I seen that Bath were aiming to play Barbarians and I thought I'd been retired for a year and a half. I retired. I didn't have any injuries when I retired. I just didn't want to play anymore. I didn't want to rock up on a Monday and get told I was fat or I wasn't strong enough or I'd done something wrong. So I just finished at my own terms. And then the only thing I hadn't done in my career, apart from play for the Lions, was play for the Barbarians. And when the opportunity arose, I contacted as many people as I could and said, I can play 5 minutes. I can play a half if you need me to. And then I spoke to Tarquin at Bath Rugby and he was really keen for me to play because it was good for both sides, Bath and the Barbarians, if I came back out of retirement. And yeah, the boys were loose. I went up to London on the day they played Quins and that I don't think they'd slept many more than 4 hours a night. They were still playing half cut. They then came down to Bath. Training was cancelled for 2 days. A lot of boys had to either recover or they went back out again. And we didn't even have a training session. We ended up going out and winning with the final kick of the game with a Damien McKenzie drop goal. And the scenes went off. And when we were trying to play, we were trying to score tries. And when Bath were trying to take 3-point penalties to try and keep the scoreboard ticking over. It wasn't really the Barbarian way, but the Bath fans started jeering the last 20 minutes when Bath were doing that. We were still just going for the crack and just having a laugh, doing Barbarian style, just trying to chuck the ball around and have a laugh.
That's disappointing from Bath. But more importantly, who is Tarquin? What a name. I don't know enough Tarquins. Write that down. I want to connect with more Tarquins. Yeah, I don't know Tarquin, but I want to make friends with a lot of Tarquins on LinkedIn. So I'll make that a thing next tomorrow to go on LinkedIn and seek out Tarquins.
Matt, how messy was it though? Because obviously you played for, you know, over 13, 14 years professional rugby. Was that the messiest 2-3 days? And if not, what was?
That definitely wasn't the messiest. I would probably say the messiest time was when myself and Bendy went out to Canada in the Churchill Cup. Those were the days. They were not so many mobile phones, just chaos, just having a laugh. And we had a great Saxon squad, just went out drinking it with a bunch of boys and have fun. And when you're in Canada, rugby's not a massive thing. And it was just good fun. And it went over from having drinks with other coaches in gentlemen's establishments instead of training, and then that carried on. It's a 3-week tour, and you're obviously a stronger nation than most others, so you don't have to obviously train as hard to go out and play against Canada, Scotland, Ireland A, Scotland A, and we were fortunate enough to win and finish it off in Chicago.
What a tour. That's given me a really good business idea to set up a gym in a gentleman's establishment. That way, you know, you can enjoy yourself by working out. And I think that, right, that's good business.
You get rewarded both ways.
Really good business.
But I genuinely think that would peak. A lot of people would just go just for that.
And Banners, you're in luck because we need some screens in there. So I'll tap you up.
Yeah,
and
definitely,
there could be a crossover business. Banners, do you drink now, or are you teetotal?
Still no drinking. I can still go out and have a laugh. When I was 18 in Jersey, I used to work on the doors. And I used to just look after my mates when I was out and then take them home. So they used to get as steaming as they want, and they knew that I'd be able to take them home. And I've never really got the taste of it.
Matt, talking about sort of getting aggressive in your job, obviously you said you were a bouncer there in Jersey when you were growing up. I'm going to touch on your days growing up in Jersey in a second. But any problems on the door? Ever have to knock something out?
No, not really. Most of the problems was all just the rugby boys just messing around, knowing that they'll get away with murder. But no, Jersey, there's not really many problems in Jersey. If you're not related to somebody over there, you know them pretty well.
This is going to insult Archie actually more than anything. You were a hockey prodigy at school and represented the West of England. Archie, did you know that?
It's probably my most disliked sport. I've got to be honest with you. I have serious beef with guys who play hockey and live in Putney. But, you know, luckily, you know, you found rugby. If not, then, you know, we could have had some serious beef. Even, you know, I would have probably got someone else to do my dirty work, considering your size. But I'm so glad you got out of that terrible sport. I mean, the chat.
Like a leopard can change spots.
Yeah. It's actually a lovely story, because I'm thinking of maybe writing a Hollywood script about it, just about a guy who, you know, was lost in life, had found hockey, was hanging out with some guys who drink flavoured cider, probably talking about reasonably priced meals, and then you found rugby and look at you now.
How did you go from playing semi-pro hockey to playing rugby? Because apparently you only started playing rugby when you were 17.
Yeah, obviously you have to play rugby at school, but there's no difference of the terms. My dad played hockey for England, so I got brought up wanting to be like my father. He's bigger than me as well, Arch. So I got my hockey and cricket with my summer and winter sports. I played West of England under 18s hockey. I was hoping to get into the England setup. I missed out on the England setup, and I just had a realization of that. I dedicated my whole life from the age of 2 to 17 to be an international rugby player at any age group, and I didn't make it. And then I said to my father, I said, I'm just going to play rugby with my mates, because I was the only kid who didn't go to private school, who was, we're not a wealthy family. So we were always, my parents gave up a lot of their time, a lot of their extra money to ship me over every other weekend to the UK. So I never went on a family holiday as a kid. We were sacrificed going to sports events. And then I just thought, all right, well, I'll just try rugby. I started playing rugby, oh, I think it was like January the 4th, 5th, when I just turned 17. And 6 months later, I got offered a professional contract by London Irish. And then I joined them, and the story starts from there. So I had a massive learning curve, which is probably the best thing, that I didn't have any preconceived perceptions of rugby, of what positions need to be, what size you need to be. I was a big, tall, fast guy, And everybody's like, oh, you can play 6, 8 second row. Okay, fine, yeah. And then I went through London Irish as a 6 second row. And then Brian Ashton saw me at National Academy and said, I'd sign you as a winger if I was as a club coach. He left the National Academy and he moved to Bath. And then he signed me straight away as a winger. And that's how I had 18 months playing back row, but then I had the rest of my career playing in the backs.
Did you automatically love it as soon as you touched that ball? You just knew?
Yeah, I think it just, the mental side, when you play rugby, I think you have to be a little bit strange that my mentor is that I'm going to run into somebody harder than they're going to run into me. And it is going to hurt, but it's going to hurt them more. And that's the mentality of how I always used to play. And then it's that excitement of what's going to happen when you run into somebody, that apprehension. And that's what I played the game. And when people are, you could run around them. I said, that's no fun, though. And that's one reason when I got people like Bendy and Joe Maddock in the good old days, Arch, when you coached them down, they're the ones that used to run around people. I used to just run into people.
Matt, obviously moving from second row to back row to eventually ending up on the wing was a genius move for you, because your first full season at Bath, you ended up the club's highest scorer and I believe the second highest scorer in the Prem, just behind, was it Tom Voice? I think it was back in those days.
Was it Tom Vandell or Tom Voice?
Oh, Tom Vandell. Tom Vandell, yeah. Does that still go down as your favourite season? Everything fresh, everything new, doing so well? You know, going from nobody to incredible.
There's so many in that there was an era of myself, Bendy and Joe Maddock. I think we had 4 years together, and those 4 years all just felt like one whole season. We very rarely changed out of position. We knew each other inside out movement, and that period of play with that back three was probably my favorite time playing with two absolute unbelievable fellas in the backfield. And obviously that gave me my stepping stone of where I went on the rest of my career. And you see Bendy's gone milking it in France for another couple of years, picking up massive coin, European Player of the Year, going to sponge on Lechon Marge 2 years after that. So he's laughing. Mad Dog's come back to Bath to be the legendary, the coach of the backs. And it'd be great to see those boys again. But yeah, that period of play with those boys before ownership change, coaches change was the best part, just with those two other boys.
Commercial break.
Chessies and Chessiettes, the sun continues to shine. And as the sun continues to shine over on I&I, we are giving you 8 free beers. All you got to do is pay the postage and packaging. It's just over £5. You will get 8 free big award-winning beers in a box straight to your front door, including 2 big packs of snacks to get you along and in the mood for a wonderful party celebration this weekend. So all you got to do is click on the link in this podcast notes and pay £5 odd postage and packaging, and the beers will be delivered to you during a couple of days' time. You're welcome.
Do you feel like you could have won more with Bath and you should have won more in that period? Because didn't you only just win the Champions Cup? Was that the Challenge Cup?
We won the Amlin Challenge Cup. And then I think we got to 4 semi-finals in the Premiership. Yeah. Which we lost all of them, but you've got to be in it to win it. And then we lost a quarter final of the Heineken Cup as well, all with that same squad of players. And it was amazing. Like you said, culture, we all covered each other's backs. We had a smaller squad, so you had to be able to play different positions and understand what people are trying to do. Like the story of where there was me, Mad Dog, Joe Maddock and Bendy all got our motorbike licenses. So we all had our motorbikes. And I got a phone call from Bendy about 2.5 hours before kickoff. Said, Banners, you're going to have to play. I was supposed to be rested. I was like, why? He said, I got a bad back. I said, no, what have you really done? And he said, I was riding my motorbike through the traffic through Bath and a car pulled out and he crashed into the side of it, flipped over the handlebars, straight on the bonnet of the other car. And he said his back was absolutely shattered. So he pulled out of that game saying that he had a bad night's sleep. And so I had to come off from being standby and playing just to cover him. But he didn't tell anybody that he crashed his motorbike, just me.
Oh, you know, on that, obviously you spent 12 years at Bath and, you know, through the colourful decades or the colourful periods with, you know, the problems off the pitch socially, which were great fun as well. You know, Matt Stevens, we've had him on the pod. He's great fun. Who was the loosest teammate throughout that whole period? Because obviously you saw 3 or 4 different generations come through.
To be honest, Mikey Clarsons was fantastic on the source. We went to Italy once and he was supposed to get a train the night after and he forgot to get the train and his wife was in another part of Italy waiting for him. When he just passed out and never even turned up. And it was great to be on the drinking with, great character. Stephen Donald was another one, good old Beaver. I went to South Africa with him in a World 15 game and I found him pretty much unconscious outside the hotel. So I carried him up to the room, put him in bed, took his shoes and socks off, took everything out of his pockets. And in the morning, he just said, I just heard, Banners. I said, yeah. He goes, I knew if I got myself to a hotel, you'd look after me. he was loose. It's all about good fun, just having a drink. As long as nobody gets hurt or harmful, it's about having fun.
Talking about the Barthiers, obviously that did have to come to an end, and actually quite a sad end, because you score a hat-trick in your final game for the club. You get 100 tries, all-time record try score. You're one appearance away from breaking another record for most caps. But then suddenly they let you go. I mean, have you been able to get over that?
In a way, my first academy manager at London Irish, Corin Palmer, said to me, you've got to remember rugby's a business. I understood at the start of my career that you're trying to get yourself into a foothold. But after I settled down in Bath, I literally felt like it was just an amateur club for me. I was enjoying rocking up, going to the gym, playing, representing my mates, my family. And then after I'd done coming into my 12th year, and I said to the club, am I going to get testimonial? What's my contract going to be? And they offered me a significant amount of money, less than what I was on, even though the wage cap had gone up 2.5 million. And I was playing five positions across the back line. And I thought, well, this doesn't add up, that you should really offer me the same money and offer me a testimonial so I could top it up. And then they said to me, you got 1 week to sign it. And then I was like, only 1 week. And they said, yeah. I said, oh, so I've got 12 years down the line and you only give me 1 week. He said, yeah. And then the following week they turned up and said, are you going to sign it? And I said, I told you, I'm not signing it. It's not good enough. And they said, well, unfortunately, you've now got no offer from Bath. And that's literally how it happened. And then I went home, spoke to the missus and was like, what's going to go on? And she was a bit panicking. I said, I'll carry it. I'll find someone to play. The next day, I had a meeting with Pat Lamb. The day after that, I spoke to Thomas Castagnet at Toulouse. And the day after that, I had a meeting with David Humphreys. And then by the following Sunday, David Humphreys had a contract at my house I had signed. My wife said, have you signed too quickly? I said, this game's not about playing the hard ball, trying to get the most amount of money. Find the club that you want to go to. I knew lots of boys at Gloucester. I knew it was a great club, a good city. When I signed it, and Bath said, what are you going to do? I said, well, you haven't offered me a contract. So I signed somewhere else. And they all thought I was messing around, having a laugh. And then when it got to it, and they were like, when are you going to sign? I said, you've not offered me a contract. And then it got to January and they were like, you have actually signed somewhere. I said, yeah, I have. Because you didn't sign, you took contract off the table for me. And that's probably the last time I ever had to deal sort of business mindset in rugby, but it is what it is. I had a great 12 years. I looked back at it and the 3 years at Gloucester is sometimes even better because I can go there and understand something about another team, another culture. You can actually be stuck in one culture and that's the only thing you can see. And going to Gloucester was probably one of the best things I did in my career because I got to understand another team, another atmosphere, the personalities, rather than just be just one team focused.
Matt, let's go to happy days. Let's go to your international career. Obviously, you represented England multiple times. Starting in 2009, your full debut, you'd already played against the Barbas, but not capped. Full debut at Old Trafford of all places, victory against the Pumas. You're man of the match, you score a try, but you don't drink. So what did you do for your initiation? Because those are slightly older school days. Did they try and bully you into doing something or was it just, you know, handshakes?
Yeah, it was literally the normal song on the bus. I let all the other debutants have a drink and you're supposed to have a drink with everybody else who's already capped. So I really dodged a bullet there, looking really at the state of some people. Seeing Davey Wilson trying to drink a Jack Daniels and a Coke through his eyeball because he was that drunk after the thing. And then the second leg was in Salta in Argentina and Chris Robshaw, that was his debut. And the boys got him so drunk that they got him to get up on the stage when they presented his cap to him in front of all the dignitaries and thing and sing his debut song in front of everybody at the top or on the stage. Bear in mind, a lot of the Argentinians didn't speak English. There's he up the top on the stage singing.
What were you doing the night of the dwarf tossing? Because obviously a man who's 6'7" against a dwarf would look even more ridiculous than the others.
Well, the funniest thing was that when we were in Queenstown and those boys all went off there, we were in a pub around the corner, myself, Tom Palmer, Martin Bayfield, and a couple of my friends that live in New Zealand. And I literally turned out to the barman and I said, what's the tab still left on the bar? So we all knew. And he told me this figure and I thought, I'm not going anywhere to spend my own money when they are if you're going to leave this by the bar. So we just stayed there and just drank in there the whole night and just drank the rest of the tab because it had been left open and not used. And that's when the RFU were talking about the dwarf toss. It's unacceptable, but they don't tell you that the boys were in had a tab open in a bar and they were putting money behind the bar. I'm not a cheapskate, but I'm not going to use my own money when I don't have to. So I just stayed in that bar whilst they went off somewhere else.
That's why I like entertaining clients in the city because my company pay for it. I'm always out. Most days I'm out for lunch, breakfast, drinks, whatever.
And then you just
fast. You can act like a millionaire.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. Unfortunately, I did get stung because I tried to take a couple of girls out for a day and put it on expenses, but they quickly realized that, you know, why was I going out at sort of, you know, to a late night bar at 11 o'clock at night and yeah. Saturday, and also tried to expense infernos, and they said, no, you can't do that.
But then your boss knows what platinum lace is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does know what platinum lace is, and that again is a great place to try my business idea. If I can put a couple of sort of
squat rack,
a ski ergo, a rowing machine, and just see how that sort of goes, and then we can take it from there. Write that down. So I'll reach out to platinum lace. It's a great place to take my clients, especially from Japan. They absolutely love it in there.
Matt, you were a very, very physical player, obviously, look at the size of you, and weren't shy of getting involved in a bit of a ruckus. But was the punch-up and brawl you sparked for Jersey versus Guernsey the biggest fight you've ever been involved in?
Yeah, definitely on a rugby field. It was the story behind that was that I'd just left London Irish, gone back to Jersey because Irish released me early because they knew I was going to Bath. And I just went to Jersey and said, I'll play in the Siam Cup if you want. And they said, all right, cool. The head coach at the time goes, oh, where are you going to Bath? I said, I'm signing as a winger. He goes, you're not a winger. You're going to play back row still. I said, I'm going as a Premiership club as a winger. So he refused to play me on the wing. So he said, you have to play back rows. So I thought, fine. And my dad goes to me, all right, Matt, they're going to try and fight you. I'll give you 200 quid if you don't get in a fight. It's a big Siam Cup. There's always scraps. I said, all right. And there's the video clip of that. You only see the small bit. I come on with 20 minutes to go. The first breakdown happens. I go to look like I'm going to steal it. I come up and their prop just runs and punches me square in the face. And the ref runs straight away, gives him a yellow. And I said, why am I getting yellowed? He said, you threw the first one. I was like, I didn't even touch him, sir. So I was like, fine. So I'm jogging off. I've only been on 2 minutes. So I miss another 10. So there's only 8 minutes to go. But as I'm jogging off for the sin bin, the prop goes, oh, it's worth every penny hitting you. I said, fine. Jog on, 8 minutes left. We kick off. The ball goes out for the line out after they scuff it. It's our line out. My best mate throws the ball in off the line out. And that same prop then goes through onto my mate and swings at him. And my mate is a big, big boy. Can't fight himself out of a wet paper bag. And I just thought, I'm going for it. And then so I just went back at the prop and said, if you're going to yell at me for throwing no punches, you can red me for throwing some punches. And I just gave it to him, turned around, their hooker came at me, hit him a couple of times, and then all thing. And so out of 20 minutes on the pitch, I actually only played 3.5.
that was like one of the first ever viral clips of rugby, right, Bannister? That must have sort of followed you around for quite some while, because that was like the time when shareable content was starting to happen.
Yeah, it's incredible how it's so many people have watched it.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a shame that the clarity is now quite frosty. It'd be nice if somebody can pick it up and put it on HDMI.
We can probably arrange that. I mean, talking about video, you know, to try and motivate, we watched that at the Clapham Falcons before we go out and play our arch rivals, the Putney Pirates, and that really motivates us. Just say, look, just act like banners on the pitch, don't take any shit. And we haven't lost to the Putney Pirates in 3 years, so we owe you some royalties probably for some
keep it, put it on beer kitty for you guys.
Thanks. I'll invest it back into the built-on market. Thanks.
Matt, talking of enemies in rugby there, who goes down as your worst enemy 14, 15 years in professional rugby? Who's the guy who just wound you up the most and why?
Even though he's a good mate of mine, Mike Brown. Yeah. He's a great player, but he's just so irritating on the pitch.
Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat?
Does he have chat? Or
does he have no chat? Can they ask
those questions now?
Mike Tindall.
Chat.
Lewis Moody.
No chat.
Dan Cole.
No chat.
Dave Atwood.
No chat.
Butch James.
Chat.
Matt Stevens.
No chat.
Cashton. Chris Ashton.
Chat.
Courtney Laws.
Chat.
Dylan Hartley.
No chat.
And Johnny Wilkinson.
Chat. I used to spend a lot of time with him.
Manners, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it a lot, mate.
Nice. Cheers, fellas. Have a great day.
Legend. Big boy.
Yeah.
Couldn't fit in the screen, really.
Strong.
And he's working in screens now.
His chat was strong, but he's also fairly strong. I think back in the day, he did some damage in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
Love to see, actually. Can you write that down?
Sure.
I'm going to email the Bath strength and conditioning, just see if I can get those stats from like when he was in his prime.
Okay.
If they can't do it, just write down reach out to various characters who might have played him.
Okay.
Just be interesting. I think people would like to see that.
Yeah.
And if anyone else is interested in the pod, just DM me and I can send you you know, like if you're interested, we'll start a group on Instagram and we right. can I can share those details. Quite interesting for a lot of the rugby
sure,
people.
Okay.
There's a lot of people listening to this pod, like tens of thousands of people listening to this pod who are like pure rugby fans. Yeah. Like with me, love like stats, love like diet, love like okay. strength and conditioning.
So they'd care about Ben
They would okay. really love it. And we'll probably start quite a cool Instagram like group and we'll just like send like various stats. Quite cool.
You got an affirmation up inside. I need to cheer myself up, make me feel alright, make me feel nice. Can you compliment me right? Can you make me inspire a positive change tonight? I download the Marvel app to make me feel alright, and now I'm loving life, baby girl, I'm feeling right. So make sure to feed your life with some smiling time. Download the Marvel app and you'll be just fine.
So, Archie, you may not have recognised that jingle.
No.
Yeah, it's a new one.
That's completely throwing me. What is that?
So, basically...
Mate, by the way, just before you go into that,
go on.
I absolutely love a jingle. You know I do.
Thank
just,
you.
Just want to repeat that.
Yeah, thanks.
You are... I'll give it to you, mate. You know, for all your faults, yeah. you are very good at jingles.
Thank you. I'm the king of jingles. But anyway, forget that.
Get that on your CV, mate.
I will do.
Because this won't last forever.
No, okay.
So I
get
would,
the CV up.
Yeah.
Okay. Now?
Write that down just to send me a CV. I'm just going to put a few things in there. Because what you can do is put jingles in bold so that accentuates it.
Okay.
Cool.
That's a good
So crack on, crack on,
That's
mate. Let's just crack on, yeah?
Yeah, sorry.
Because I've got a busy day. So can we please just crack on, okay?
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, mate. But that's me and work, mate. I sometimes digress.
Okay.
But
cool.
I need to bring it back to work mode. Let's crack on with the podcast.
Well, this is a new...
Everyone's got stuff to do today. Okay. We're listening. They're probably travelling on the tube. They're thinking, can we quickly finish up? I've got to get to work
yeah.
and make a call. And you guys are dilly-dallying
about.
I'm rushing
down Threadneedle Street. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll be quick. But
oh, no,
say...
no, we're at London Bridge. Can we get a pod done, please? We're going to get off a bank. We've only got two stops. Get it done. Let's crack on. Ding, 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 ding. Ring bell. Let's crack on.
Okay, well, this new jingle is for the incredible guys at Morale App. Now, Archie, I know you're sick and tired of getting abused online. It's not only you, because 65% of the UK population are victims to some type of cyberbullying. And there's finally an answer, thanks to an app called Morale.
That I've got to say, mate, I get my fair share of abuse online. To the point where, you know, I've got thick skin. I went to boarding school and got whipped with a coat hanger
Christ.
And got hockey balls thrown at me. But
Christ.
Enough's enough. Like, why is everyone calling me Rat Boy?
Are they still doing that?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I am. I'm just saying, like, I don't look like a rat. I've looked at pictures of a rat and I can't see the similarities.
No, not at all.
So I totally know how it feels. And it's actually, you know, it doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me.
No,
doesn't
no.
bother me.
No, I can
like,
tell.
Literally, water off a duck's back. But for other people who might look like a rat, you know,
well, it's
that's
not...
like people calling you Pigeon Boy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not nice
Pigeon Boy.
Yeah, it's not yeah, really nice. Yeah,
Pigeon Boy.
Well,
how would you like it if every day someone's writing to you, hey, Freddie, you look like a pigeon?
Well, look, there's
hey,
finally...
Pigeon Boy.
Archie,
hey, Pigeon Boy.
Archie,
spit it out, Pigeon Boy. Do you like it?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no.
But luckily, there's finally an answer.
You don't look like a pigeon.
There's finally an answer.
More
and that...
a small dog.
Thank you very much. But look, Archie, there's finally an answer, and that is Morale App. And what's even better is I know you're a huge fan of standing naked in front of the mirror, delivering your affirmations, compliments, and generally inspiring positivity to yourself, but also those around you. Well, if you download the Morale App, you can send motivation, compliments, and affirmations directly to all your friends on the app. And what's even better than that is sending support to friends is proven to boost your own morale, therefore making you more happy and successful, and also those around you.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is, why don't we download the app?
Yeah.
Get on there, and then we can start inspiring our network. So people who can download the app, who are listening today, you can then send them incredible affirmations, compliments.
Put my number in the link in the bio.
I'm going to put your number in the bio in the podcast notes.
Yeah,
we'll put it on the Instagram as well. They can add your number, download the app, and then they can start.
This is a bloody good idea, because in the past, I've just got my next door neighbour, Albert, you know the guy that shaves me. I get him just to leave me notes through my letterbox, just saying stuff like, looking good, like quads looking good last night when you're walking in.
That's a bit weird.
Well, I didn't, nice initially, job, initially, I didn't ask him to do it. He was just sending me those.
Okay.
But actually, it did boost my round confidence, because he used to send me stuff like, your glutes are looking strong.
Okay.
Saw you walking this morning, and your glutes are looking great in your suit trousers.
Okay.
And I just, and then he stopped for a couple of days, because at one point I said, that's a bit weird, Albert. Like, you know, but then I noticed me getting quite down, so I actually said, like, when he was shaving me like weeks later, I said, look, do you mind actually just keep sending me those notes in my letterbox? I actually really like
Well, that's essentially what this app is.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's made you feel better.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm going to take a leaf from the Morale App book, and I'm going to start the process, because in the past we've been quite hard to a certain Owen Farrell, haven't we?
We have.
And like, you know, I want to change that, because actually the world is full of hate, and actually I just want to reach out. I'm going to try and reach out and connect through the medium of this podcast, and just say to Faz, can we put some music?
Yeah, sure.
Here?
Let's go for it.
Yeah, that's nice. Look, Faz, enough's enough. Like, let's put bygones be bygones. I just want to say, you know, I really respect you as a player and a person. Yeah, your haircut's really boring. I'd love to see some colour in there, or maybe grow it long or something, you know. But you can't. I appreciate it. You can't. You're not. That's out of your comfort zone. You like what you like, and I look, mate. I respect that. I like my pencil case in order at my desk. So I kind of get that. So like, what I'm trying to say is we're quite similar guys. And I just want to say, look, mate, you know, hands up, you know, my hand's up here, Fred, but no one can see me. I just want to say that. Like, Faz, good luck for the rest of the season, mate. And like, virtual fist pump, and let me know if you virtually fist pump me, and let's bygones be bygones, and let's just crack on.
That's beautiful. Can you just give him?
Can we crack? This has been quite a long section.
Can you just give him an inspirational quote to finish up?
Yeah.
Once you peel an orange, you get to the core, but it's not until you eat the core of the orange that is not visible will you feel the juice rise in your body.
Right. Well, if you guys want to get inspiring quotes like that,
I'm thinking of getting that tattooed.
If you want to get inspiring quotes like that from Archie, then all you have to do is download the Morale app for free now. So type in Morale on any of the app stores you download your apps from, and send out your boost of motivation to your friends and colleagues, and see your quarter personal success and happiness improve as a result. Well, Archie, the sun is shining.
Yeah.
Everything's sweet.
Spring is
Q2
here.
Is going well.
Yeah.
And the pod is lovely. I mean, pod
was beautiful. Like, we really meandered through that pod like a really good meandering river, and we came to an oxbow lake. We've settled lovely.
Yeah. You should have gone into geography.
I was thinking about doing
Mr.
it at university. He did a little bit. he really inspired me initially to take up geography and pursue it into my A levels.
Yeah.
But then it just got very disturbing.
I can imagine.
It's a shame, because I really did enjoy talking about rivers. There's so many interesting things.
Well, maybe
about
you should
rivers.
Start a separate podcast.
I don't know if you know the erosion. A lot of erosion causes the bends in rivers, and it's
lovely.
Quite interesting.
That's really interesting.
I'll write it down. I'll dig out my GCSE case study. It was really, really good bit of work, actually. I sometimes look at it and think, yeah, I could have gone on to do something quite significant in the lake world.
Okay, well, that sounds fascinating. What also is going to be fascinating is the World Cup, which is coming up in September in France.
Hold on.
Now, it's only a hop, skip and a jump across the channel.
Yep, it is.
And we want to get out there. We want to do some podcasts.
We
want to have some fun
do.
Out there.
Every other rugby podcast is going, and yet we've had various conversations with some people.
Yep.
But we want to be out there. We want to be the voice of the fans.
We do. We want to be on the ground causing fun.
All these other podcasts with these old retired players who are a little bit above their station talking to the great and good.
Boring middle ground.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting there. We want to cause some problems.
We're on the edge.
We want to get in some ruckuses with the other fans. We want to get in the mixer.
Yep.
We want to create a sort of Inferno's-esque atmosphere podcast.
We want to bring Clapham to the World Cup.
Clodus, I want to go there. I want to record a podcast every day.
Yeah.
I want to do some content every day. Let's do a diary.
You want to be filming.
Let's get on the lash for a week and bring the banter. Oh, look, the other rugby podcast speaking to the World Cup. When is Richie McCaw? Well, we're not. We're talking to Pierre from France, who's a French fan who actually lives in Australia, and he's on the piss.
We're talking to Cali Slusser again. What's she doing out of the World
Come
Cup?
Come on, Cali Slusser. No, can we write that down and see if she'll come with us? She'll be good, because she's got quite a good following on TikTok.
And quite good content. Okay,
yeah, she'll make some good content. We could probably go behind a paywall and make some good. Write it down.
Okay,
I'll reach out to Cali Slusser.
Well, if you guys
she can travel with us in a van or something. We can,
okay.
Write that down.
Well, guys, if you can help us get out there, if you can sponsor us to get out there, if you've got some ideas about how we can ruck and weave our way around the World Cup and cause some complete havoc, then please just email us, rugbizpod@gmail.com, or DM Archie, DM the Rugbiz, and we will start working with you.
Yeah, I'll leave it at this, but maybe I'll do a speech to see us out. What I need is sort of like a corporate theme tune.
Okay, I'll try my best.
Yeah. Hello, gents and gentettes. It's AC here, one of the highest net worth individuals of the city. You'll know me from various things of delivering great banter on Instagram or a podcast. You'll probably know me from my many connections on LinkedIn. I'm very well renowned in the business world, and I'm looking to do a bit of business with you. What I'm looking for is someone with a bit of coin who can get us out there and get us in the mixer. Now, if you haven't got the coin, don't bother messaging me because I'm a busy guy. But if you're the high net worth individual that I'm looking for, get in contact. Let's do some business. Happy to meet at the Ned. We can meet on the roof. I'm a member and there's a swimming pool there. It's pretty incredible. And we can get this deal done. Let's deliver bloody good Le Banter in France in September. Love and champagne.
Street soldiers patrol the pavement, gotta watch my step when I'm outside the ends late at night. Can't get caught stepping, but I might start tripping. Don't wanna be a victim, darling, 999. But I don't think with Babylon, them I got a problem, pull up them and them to come and rectify. See me, I'm a roots man, so more time I don't have a problem stepping on another man's roadside. I'm a bad man in the West, so don't watch me now. I'm a bad man in the way, this is my sound. Keep rolling the high grade, gotta maintain a airplane when I speak my mind like Selassie. Don't know when I'ma see you next, so I stay blessed. Too full of Sophia, Jarrah, stop, alright.